Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 7th of November. Thank you for joining with us once again in this recorded service for Sunday's worship. And whatever way you are listening to us, whether it's on the website with the slides or on the telephone line or on the podcast, you are very, very welcome. Sunday is a special service in Burnside. We're celebrating the Lord's Supper together, and therefore this pre-recorded service will be talking about communion, but we won't actually have the act of communion as part of the recording. As usual, we'll not have any of the songs recorded either, but we hope that you will be blessed as we read God's word and as we study it together. There are a few announcements for Sunday. First of all, if you have a shoebox, we ask you to return it by this Sunday, the 7th of November. Then also do remember that Girls Brigade has started back every Tuesday evening, and we're delighted to say that there's a good number of girls coming along, and we ask you to pray for our Girls Brigade and for all that they're doing. So, as I said, this is a communion service, and therefore we'll be thinking about communion. We're delighted to welcome some new members to our congregation, Olive Copeland, John and Mary Gilmore, and Joyce Mulholland, all transfer into membership of our church. Now, as we come to worship, we think of what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35. He said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." So let's come before God and let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we are reminded today that as we come to your table, that you are the God of sacrifice. You have sacrificed your only Son so that we might come to this table today and receive your grace. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Redeemer. We thank you that Jesus went to the cross and stood in our place and took our punishment, and has now offered us the wonderful gift of eternal life. And therefore, Lord, we come to you today around this table asking for your hand of blessing to be upon us. Lord, we pray for the new members of our congregation. We pray for Olive and John and Mary and Joyce. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless them today as they join into membership of this congregation. Bless them as they eat around the table with us. And bless us, Lord, as they come among us. Lord God Almighty, we do thank you that we are able to come to this table today. We thank you that restrictions have lifted enough to be able to do this. And although, Lord, we may not be able to come to the table today, those who are just listening, we pray that this service would still be a blessing. So, Lord, we ask that you would be with us now, for we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On Sunday, we'd be singing the metrical psalm, Psalm 116. I love salvation, take the cup, and on the Lord's name call. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord before his people all. Dear in his sight is his saint's death. Thy servant, Lord, am I. Thy servant, sure, thine handmaid son. My bands thou didst untie. Thank offerings I to thee will give, and on the Lord's name call. I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all. Within the courts of the Lord's house, within the midst of thee, O city of Jerusalem, praise to the Lord give ye. Amen. In preparing for our communion service today, there has been a question that has been uppermost in my mind. And it's a question that on first thinking and first look at doesn't really have very much to do with communion. A couple of weeks ago, we were thinking about finding Jesus in the life of Jacob. And it got me thinking, Will Jacob still have a limp whenever we meet him in eternity? And that's what we're going to think about this morning as we come to the table. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, that doesn't have much relevance to my life at the moment. I've got all sorts of other things going on. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to cope with all that I have to face this week. And really, whether Jacob's going to have a limp or not in heaven is not top of my priority list. And I suppose you do have a point, but at the same time, I think it is a very important question for us as we move towards the table today. So we begin by asking ourselves, why should we care about Jacob's limp? Well, we only briefly mentioned the story in passing last time, so I think it would be good for us to read it together now, and we can find it in Genesis 32, and if you've got your Bible with you, please do open it up, keep it beside you, because we're going to read a few other passages as well. And this is Jacob running away from home just after he has cheated his father and his brother for the birthright and the blessing. And as he is running away, he has this wrestle with God. And he's, I suppose at this stage, as he's about to come back again to face up to his brother. So that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" And then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So here we have Jacob on his way back to meet his brother. This is some 20 years after he cheated him out of his inheritance. And the night before the meeting, Jacob sends everyone ahead across the river, and he goes back on his own. He has the most incredible encounter with God. A stranger arrives and they wrestle throughout the night. And the stranger is unable to overpower Jacob. And when the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Now, it turns out that the man is in fact God and tells Jacob to let go of him because it's coming near daybreak and no one is able to see the face of God and survive. And so the man is telling Jacob, let go so that he can leave before daybreak. But the strange situation that we have here with Jacob and the stranger is that Jacob is not going to let go. He wants a blessing. And this time it's a legitimate blessing. It's not one that he's trying to cheat out of anyone. He simply wants the blessing of this man. So he holds on and he will not let go until he receives the blessing. So the stranger turns out to be God. He blesses Jacob and he changes his name. He changes his name from Jacob to Israel. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." And Peniel means face of God. So in this whole struggle, Jacob does not leave unscathed. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So Jacob has this really close encounter with God, but he is no longer the same after the encounter. Now he walks with a limp, and every time he takes a step and he feels the pain in his hip, he remembers the night that he wrestled with God, and he remembers the blessing that he received. Everyone who met Jacob and watched him for a moment or two would see that he was limping. And they might inquire, "Are you okay, Jacob? Have you hurt yourself?" And Jacob would then tell them about the night that he wrestled with God and God blessed him. This is part of Jacob's identity now. It's part of his story. It is who he is. There's Jacob and he's limping. If you saw Jacob walk past and he wasn't limping, you would assume that something was wrong. So I want to ask today, do you walk with a limp? Have you had an incident in your life that has left its mark on you? Is there some pain or hurt that remains in your life? Maybe a recent event, or it may be from years ago, but it still hurts. It is there every morning when you wake up. It's still there in the evening whenever you go to bed, and you think about it often in between, and the pain is severe. You wish that pain would go away, and yet it is still there. But despite the pain, whenever you look back, you realize that it was an encounter with God. He was with you throughout it all, and he was there in a very real way. So whatever obstacles you faced and whatever problems were there, God stuck with you and did not abandon you. You cried out in your pain and God responded. You wrestled with him as you tried to find peace and blessing and work out why this was happening. You felt his closeness through the tragedy. And as you walked away, you realized that you were now limping. You would never be the same again. And although you wish you had never gone through the suffering, you realize that it was a very unique position to be that close to God. And the limp now reminds you of the pain, but it also reminds you of God and how he was with you, and his love, and his care, and his presence. And almost that moment is a defining moment in your life. Everything else that you've ever done or you will ever do hangs on that encounter with God. And therefore, like Jacob, you bear the scars, and you now limp because of what happened. Now, as we come to the table today, we're going to come to meet someone who has wrestled for us. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prepared to go to the cross. And he wrestled, as it were, in prayer with his Father. He wrestled so intensely that his sweat was like drops of blood. That was the anguish that he was in. So let's turn to Luke 22 and let's read about that time in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus wrestled with his Father. So Luke 22, verses 39 to 46, Jesus here is praying on the Mount of Olives. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Jacob, as we know, wrestled to secure a blessing for himself. We wrestle with God just simply to survive and make it through for another day. But when Jesus wrestles with his Father, he is wrestling to secure a blessing for us, to make sure that the sacrifice could be offered for our sin. Now, Jesus was asking his Father if there was any other way, he would accept it. But if there was no other way, then he would go to the cross. And as we know, Jesus would never be the same after the cross. He would forever carry the scars of the nails in his hands and his feet. He would forever carry the scar in his side where the spear had been thrust. And when he was resurrected, Thomas said that he wouldn't believe until he put his fingers in the nail marks. And when Jesus did appear to Thomas, he offered Thomas to come and do that very thing. John 20, verses 24 to 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus may not be walking with a limp, but he does carry the scars. Isaiah tells us that our names are written in those scars. "See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." If you are walking with a limp today, or if you are carrying scars today of something that has happened in your life, Jesus is standing at this table with his arms open wide. He's welcoming you to come to him, whatever the pain, whatever the scarring. Jesus is able to deal with it. Now, he may not remove it, because Jacob still walked with a limp. Jesus still carried the scars. So he may not remove it, but he is able to support us whatever way we walk. So let's get back to our question from the start. Will Jacob still be walking with a limp when we meet him in eternity? When his body is resurrected, will it still have a limp? I have to say, I don't know. He might, because in a way, it's so much a part of who he is. Jesus still had the scars. So will Jacob still have a limp? Maybe the more important question for us as we come to the table is, will we still be walking with a limp in eternity? Will we still bear the scars of this life on our resurrected bodies the way that Jesus does? As we've just noticed, Jesus still had the scars on his body. Now, we know that in eternity, everything will be perfect. We'll be resurrected with new bodies. So it's quite possible that we will no longer see the scars. We'll no longer have the limp. But they may still be there because they're part of our journey and they're part of who we are. The important thing is, Jacob's limp, if he still has one, won't be painful anymore. Christ's hands and side won't be painful. This table reminds us of his wounds, reminds us of his body that was broken and his blood that was shed. And Isaiah tells us that it's through his wounds that we receive healing. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So at the table, as we look upon Jesus with the wounds in his hands, the healing begins. And then we look forward to that final day when the healing is completed. John describes it for us in the book of Revelation, Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. Remember, he's given this wonderful glimpse into heaven and he writes down what he sees and he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Let's bow before God in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this wonderful promise that whenever we go into eternity, all things will be made new. And Lord, we look forward with hope to that day of resurrection on your return, when we will be equipped for eternity with new bodies to live here on the new earth and to be in your presence and to worship you and to glorify you. Lord God, we thank you for the table. We thank you for all that you give to us at the table. And we bring our prayers to you now. And we ask, Lord, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to this pre-recorded service today. You are welcome to join with us on any Sunday at 11 o'clock for our service. And do remember that you can keep up to date throughout the week with the blog on the website. We have devotions each day, and then we have the service at the weekend. So God bless you all.